Job chapter 2, just call your Bible with me. I need to give us a background so that we will not spend our time opening so many scriptures. Give me more sound on your keyboard, more sound. Thank you. The Bible was careful to give us hindsight, to show us by revelation the things that happened that gave rise to the situation of the man called Job. Amen. I've always wondered about that scenario in Job chapter 1. When the Bible says that the day came when the sons of God came to appear before the Lord and Satan came with them. I've been trying to wonder what scenario is that. Trying to bring scriptures together in order to understand what scenario the Bible was trying to capture. Amen. In my study of the Bible, I came to realize that the scenario that God was bringing to our notice is a scenario of the congregation of the righteous, just like this. The sons of God were in fellowship, but in the realms of the spirit, God was there, and the devil too was present. Because I tried to picture it as heaven. Amen. But the Bible says that after the war that took place in heaven, there was no space left for the devil. Amen. Secondly, there are several theological schools that feel that the statement sons of God typify angels. But when I studied the scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says that at no time did God call any angel my son. You get it? So we have to go back to the book of Job to find out what scenario is that, and I came to realize that it was a congregation of the righteous. Just as we are talking today. Have you ever been in a service that's so strong before, and an agent of the devil also sat by you? It's a conference point. And somehow God gave us insight into what was happening in the realms of the spirit while the congregation met. Amen. The devil was asked, from whence art thou come? He said, I've transversed the whole earth. I've walked up and down and to and fro in it. That statement triggered something. It looked like what was written about the devil in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. For in the original intent of his creation, it was that cherub that walked to and fro and up and down in the coals of fire. So even after the fall, he still maintained his oscillatory motion. See, I've not changed much since you drove me out. I've still retained the ability to scoop around. Going up to and fro and up and down. And when I walk this way, I get to notice so many things. Alright. Have you seen my servant Job? Because he was also implying that if I was able to go up and down and to and fro, it means I had no resistance in the air. I'm in control of the earth. And just before he could conclude that statement, God now said, have you seen Job? Because the last time I checked, it was just Job that was in control. Hallelujah. The last time I peeked through my vista, Job was in charge. But you seem to know so much. Amen. And then that was how the discussion brought Job into the center stage of action. So the Bible was careful to hand over to us hindsight so that we'll not be confused in the reading. Amen? Alright, you know what happened thereafter? The devil now began to accuse Job before God. Because anytime he has that opportunity to meet with God in the congregation of the righteous, he always comes in the capacity of an accuser. There's something about you that he knows how is skillful in portraying in such a way that you will be accused before God. But there was something he did not know, what God has done inside of Job. And that was what made God to brag about Job. But the devil felt that God was just blessing him without cause. Amen? See, there was some contention in heaven. And because of that, God allowed, gave him permission to afflict Job, but he gave him limitation too. Said on him of permission and limitation. Because God did not disclose to the devil that when Job is tried in the way that the temptation will try him, it will also open a portal for him to gain ascendancy to a level that he has not yet reached. You see, no matter what happens, God is always on your side. He's an umpire that is quite partial. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that the thoughts that he thinks towards you are always thoughts of good and not of evil. Have you ever had a referee that feels so good about you? It means that when they put you in the corner to punch you, you blow. Something is wrong somewhere. But when you take the opponent and put the opponent by the corner, you say, did you forget that blows on this place can cause havoc? Did you forget? You will win this battle. You will win. You will win. Somehow, when the temptation began, Job was trying to factor what was happening from the realm of the natural. That's what we do most times when trials and tribulations come out. We don't understand what happened in the spirit realm. We don't understand the interference that took place. And if you are not peeping from the vista of God, there's no way your judgment will be accurate about an issue. Notice that there was a quiet statement that was made between and between when the profile of Job was being unraveled. The Bible says that he was the greatest man in all of the east. And he didn't continue from there. Amen. When Job's friends heard that Job had been afflicted, they armed themselves to come visit with Job. And notice that Job's friends were three. And I've been wondering why God said, mention the east, with reference to Job. Then I came to discover that those were the three cardinals. Job was the fourth one. You know, there are four cardinal points. North, south, east, west. Job was the philosopher that was in charge of all the landscape of the east. Anytime there were issues that they could not unravel, they brought it to Job from town wide within the scope of the territory that his fame was known. He was in charge of the east. No kind of doctrine, no kind of philosophy that Job could not break down. He gave meaning to the lives of many people. He gave voice to the voiceless. He was an icon, a colossus among his people. And so when the other cardinals in philosophy heard that Job was afflicted, they came with their tools to diagnose his affliction. It took them so much time to get to the place. You know, those kind of people don't go, they don't hurry. They are cardinals. In their own rank, among the sons of men, they have a place. And they came from Job chapter 2, verse 11. Can we use this song to take some ventilation? Because I think we need it. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. Can we sing to the Lord tonight? Jesus, I believe in you.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus, Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you.
John chapter 2 verse 11, that was just for ventilation so that he will begin to take possession of everything that is on your inside. Amen? Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that came upon him, they came everyone from his own place. It means they did not come from the same voice quarters. Hallelujah. They had their own places. And they came from their own place. Hallelujah. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come mourn with him and to comfort him. You realize that they have to make an appointment. Have you ever consulted a physician, a doctor, those ones that are consultants? You need to book an appointment. He's so busy. Sometimes he comes only on Thursday. Hallelujah. He's not around on Monday. He's not around on Tuesday. He comes for 3 hours on Thursday. So you must see him by appointment. And these guys made what? Out of their busy schedule, they were able to cover out. Are you seeing me? To come and mourn with him and what? To comfort. That was the original purpose. To what? Mourn and comfort. In fact, when they came and they were in mind away and they saw the affliction of Job. They poured ashes on their head and they sat down for 7 days without talking. They were trying to diagnose the situation from the standpoint of their own philosophy, and there was no utterance. Hallelujah. So they sat down for 7 days. And after 7 days of looking upon him without any utterance, then one of them now spoke. I want you to see what they say. In John chapter 4, I'll begin to read from verse 3. And these be the statements of Eliphaz. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weakness. Thy words have upholding him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now, somebody say, but now. Now, those first two verses were a summation of the historical perspective. This is a Job we used to know, the one that gives strength to the people, gives ability to the weak, gives a voice to the voiceless. Hallelujah. But now, if it is come upon thee, and thou faintest, it touches thee and thou art troubled. Now, let us get the core of his philosophy, verse 7 and 8. Don't forget 7 and 8. That's the foundation of everything that is said subsequently. He said, remember, I pray thee, whoever perish being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. I guess that the initial arrangement was to mourn and comfort. But the tone and taste of his philosophy has overtaken the initial agenda. And he was viewing the situation from the standpoint of human merits, that Job was deserving of the affliction that was upon him. For no one ever perished being innocent. Are you with me? That was the bedrock of his own philosophy. Amen? The law of sowing and reaping. That if these things are befalling you, is a product of what you have sown. And he could not view Job's situation outside of that context. This must be a harvest that has accumulated over time by reason of the deliberate seeds that you have sown. For no one was ever cut off in righteous. At this point, Job, that was managing on the last strand of his life, I need to explain what had happened to him at this point. Amen? See, there were so many boils on his body, and the only thing that he did in order for him to feel better was that his wife gathered the ash that came from the cooking place. You know the ash? That white dust, soft white dust. And he piled it up. And then gave Job a piece of a broken clay pot to be scratching his body that was eating him. And the only place he could find a little comfort at least to take the next breath was on the heap of ash. So Job could not wear clothes. He was naked. On ash, breaking the boils, and then the ash will stick to it. If you see Job, he was white. The Lord give you understanding. That was why I was white, because the ash had cleaved to the previous places that boils were located. And somebody looked at him and said, obviously, without any shadow of doubt, this must be the treachery of thy hidden works. For thou hast received what is due for that which you have done. For no man, if you sow iniquity, you will be caught. I don't have time to show you the defense of Job. While the first philosopher was bringing his philosophy from the standpoint of human merit, Job was, his own philosophy was established on human righteousness. The next philosopher now picked up after Job answered well. In the book of Job chapter 8, come with me quickly. Job chapter 8, I want to begin to read from verse 2. How long will I speak these things? How long shall thy words, the words of thy mouth, be like a strong wind? But God prevent judgment. Unto the Almighty prevent justice. If thy children have sinned against him, and he has cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou were pure and upright, surely now he would have waited for thee and make the habitation of the righteous prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy later end should greatly increase. Now get the core of his own theology, his own philosophy. Verse 8 and 9, the foundation. He said, for inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. Where is he taking us now? Oh, you are not here. This guy is saying, if we begin to judge this thing from this yesterday that we came, when we have errors in our judgment. So what will we do? let's reach back into humble antiquity and find out the patterns of human life under the sun. Hallelujah. This man stole, this was his end. The other man stole, this was where he ended. Now, this science you are showing is an indicator that you stole. Do you understand? It's not me saying it, it's the judgment for what? He brings his own philosophy from the standpoint of human experience. Trying to understand why Job was in that situation. I also do not have the time to go into Job's defense as he was standing on the platform of human righteousness, self-righteousness. The third philosopher spoke out. And his own statement is documented in Job chapter 11. Come with me. In Job 11, I don't have time to do the whole reading. Let me just go to where I want to go to. Okay? Verse 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure and I'm clean in my eyes. That's Job he's referring to. Is righteous in his own eyes. But oh, that God will speak and open his lips against thee, and that he will show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to which is. Know therefore that God exacted of thee less than the iniquity, than thy iniquity deserved. Now, we need to find out what does this man mean by the secrets of wisdom. He's saying that in God there is a reserved debt. And it's from the standpoint of that reserved debt that God allows events and circumstances to come into the lives of men. Hallelujah. That if you are going to make any judgment without seeing the full scope from the secrets of wisdom, your judgment is going to leave out some of the variables that went into active intercession to crystallize that circumstance. So he recommended that Job would have prayed so that God would have opened to him the very fountains of the secret of wisdom. And then he would have realized that what is happening today is less than what you really deserve. Did you get it? Okay. Next verse. Verse 7. Canst thou by searching? No, jump to 13 and 14. Because this is where he makes his real statement. He was hiding his own perspective behind parables and all of that. So he has come out clearly now in 13. And he said, if thou prepare thine heart and set out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Amen. 14. He said that what? If iniquity, what? Be in thy hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness, what? This man has a perspective. Oh, I wish we had the time to read all through to that point and we see what I'm talking about. He says that every activity, every action dwells within a particular social context. Amen? Now, maybe in your own culture, some things may not be wrong. And in my own culture, some things may be wrong. All right? So he's saying that let us bring this situation into the context of the tradition. Because he wants to bring his philosophy from the standpoint of human tradition. And it may possibly have been that Job has violated something. You see, he mentioned iniquity and he mentioned... you're not with me. Okay, don't worry. Let me pick it myself. There are two things he mentioned there. Iniquity and what? Wickedness. And if you have been attending teachings here, I've said that there's a difference between sin, iniquity, trespass, and transgression. Amen? And when we talk about iniquity, we are talking about a man that uses his will to oppose the will of God. Because the Bible says that iniquity was found in the devil in the beginning. And then the Bible gave us a snapshot of the oppression of the devil that was tantamount to iniquity. And it was what? I will. You get it? I will. His will was opposed to the will. So he is suggesting now that Job may have had a will that is opposed to the law. Alright? And that's why he committed the sin of transgression. He trespassed. And maybe on the account of his trespass, he was what? Afflicted. Because he crossed the boundary within the territory. And all these men were speaking very deep and very wise things. But none of them was able to strike the call. Have you ever had a situation around your life that nobody could really tell why, where, and how? Everyone comes and brings a suggestion. If we take you to Bounty, there's a man there. He has done this before, he did that before, and I tell you now, he'll do yours. That person is coming from the standpoint of our human experience. Most of our philosophies are within the rank and files of these three prototypes. And those are the excuses that the devil brings so that we will not seek God and God alone. At this point, they had stopped, but it was obvious that nobody struck the call. And none of the philosophers that were cardinals in their own ranks and from their own places have the accurate interpretation of the cause of Job's affliction. There is stuff there, but we don't have time to follow each philosopher. But because their perspectives are consistent all through to the end, alright? We just block out the foundation. And when they continued, they got to the book of Job chapter 31. At that point, they exhausted all their philosophy. And then they became silent. Because you are going to see a situation of silence in Job 32. That was the same silence that they had when they came. When they saw that the situation was grievous. Actually, they did not have a testimony. They did not have a perspective when they saw it, but they just decided to attempt. But having attempted for so long, they had come to the same silence that they sustained initially. Are you with me now? Then we discovered that among the three wise men that came from their own place was a young man. In fact, the name of the young man was not mentioned in the book of Job chapter 2. But his name came upon the scene somewhere along the line when the great masters of wisdom had failed. And his name was Elihu the Buzite. He said, I've been waiting for a long time. Because his own, he came and said, I said that this should speak. That means people that are advanced in years should be the one to teach wisdom. But now that the wisdom of the ancient has failed, I need to tell you something. All through your discussion, something has been rumbling on the inside of my spirit. He said, there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty. And what he was saying was that, see, your philosophies do not bear the accurate perspective of this condition. Any philosophy you consulted in interpreting this situation that was known by the Holy Spirit is wrong. Tell your neighbor, anything but the Holy Ghost is wrong. When people visit the shrine, the custodian of the shrine will never tell them that you can't handle their case. Have you ever seen anyone that? They will admit you. And he will make some attempts. Even if that case is strange to his mind, he will still try to do something. That's how doctors are. They don't accept until there is the end of their wisdom. But you realize that God began to move upon the spirit of that young man after the philosophers have ended their attempts. Many times like that, God will wait for the affliction to become much. And when you have expended all your wisdom, then his spirit begins to move. If you understand what I'm saying at all, you will know that the answer for your life is in the Holy Ghost and not in nowhere else. And that is what will make you seek him diligently. Because if you turn to another philosophy, you know you're operating by fallacy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to when I was still doing my missionary work in the city of Kano, we saw all kinds of things. We were preaching and teaching the Bible, discipling the people that gave their lives to Christ. And suddenly, the grace of God began to increase. And people started getting healed, and people started getting delivered. So much so that Muslims, Muslim women will what they call that thing at the time? The hijab. Alright. They come with the hijab. They don't like to see us in the open because their husbands will see them. So we have a place where we direct them to go. And when they come into that place, because they are overwhelmed by situations, overwhelmed by circumstances, they remove the hijab. I said, see me, I'm dying. There is a situation that God will allow to come into the end. That even Muslims will say, see me. And God is looking for people that can hold this hand and bring it into the end. Not just people that can receive help from him, but people that can connect his hand to their generation. We didn't know anything. We didn't know so much scripture. We didn't know anything, but we were just there. And because of that, God decided, okay, since you guys are there, I'm going to release my grace, but you will have to pay the price to sustain it. And God wanted to make himself known. And so we now told God, I said, Lord, we are not prophets, but we heard that in the Holy Ghost is revelation. We want to ask you of something for somebody. Whenever we go before these people, we don't want to ask them what their problem is, just reveal it. We put a challenge on God. And so when they come, we say, this was wrong with you. And then they say, wow. So your God too knows secrets like this. We say, nothing does know secrets. He knows your future more than you know your past. Hallelujah. He knows everything that is before you much more than you know what is behind you. And he seeks men among us that he can multiply grace upon your life and use you to affect another life. Can you lift up your right hand and pray to God? I say, Lord, begin with me again on a new state, on a new dimension. Do not allow me to limit you as I have done up until this day.
let a new dimension of your grace be found in my life, such as can bring an answer to the troubles of my generation, such as can bring a solution to the troubles of my time. Let there be an answer.
Hallelujah. 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 Now let me tell you some things that God is telling me now. Amen. There's an oil that will come in this meeting. An oil, an anointing. This anointing that is going to come into this house. It's an anointing that will wash your eyes and make you see. In all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I know no one as useful as the gift of discernment of spirit. Not because I operate in it, but it makes so many things very, very easy. God has a grace that can remove a limitation and bring out a ministry. And you'll be able to reach out and touch people in places where only Him can touch. We saw Muslims of all kinds. They removed that too. Alright? And we lead them to Christ. Hallelujah. And we they say they can't disclose their identity because they will die. But somewhere along the line, they met with Jesus. There is a spirit in man. And it is the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth them understanding. Maybe certain things in your life have been going in a certain way that you cannot understand. But God will inspire you. He will quicken your spirit and give you illumination and bring revelation to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Before I stop, so that we can pray, don't forget the statement I made yesterday. It was a statement of a leader. When he told them what gave him authority to speak in an elder's forum, and what his authority was that his spirit moved on his spirit. Amen? That was what gave him the audacity to be able to punctuate the elders and speak in their midst. They say it's not my doing. Somehow I was just sitting by the corner side and the Holy Ghost moved upon my spirit. And oh, but I believe this statement to be true, that there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty given them on the side. That was what he said that made the elders wait to hear what he was saying. And then he moved on. He said a lot of things. And by the time he got to verse 33, he made a statement. He said, God is greater than man. That if those people realized that God were actually greater than man, that time that they were silent, the first day they came, they would have sought God to know what his mind about this issue was. But they didn't do that. They felt they could navigate through philosophy. If only you catch that revelation tonight, that God is greater than man. Man may run out of answers, but God has so many answers. Man may run out of power, but God has unending power. Man may run out of responses, but God is greater than man. That's my message tonight. God is greater than man. Elihu revealed to us many reasons why he felt God was greater than man. And one of them was that God does not feel any reason to explain to you when you have the wrong perspective about Him. He doesn't feel pressed to come and say, do you know why I did that thing? Have you ever been in a situation before you understand what God was doing? The fact that said God was against you. Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow that to happen? What? Did not speak. He didn't come to tell you, this is why I did this. That is a sign that is greater than you. That is not moved by your wrong persuasion of his personality. And a man that is not ready to allow himself drop his own philosophy, and even with his understanding unfruitful, follow God by faith, such a man can never be great. Because there are many times that you will not know what God is doing. But faith still calls you to respond to the frequency of the Lord, even though your understanding be. Because he does not suffer that insufficiency, that inferiority that we feel, that makes us want to redeem our image when people have a wrong perspective about us. He doesn't do that. Secondly, Elihu said, God may come so close to you and give you a revelation, but he can seal the interpretation. He can give you a dream, but refuse to unveil what the dream means. You can explain it. You can say, I saw this person. I saw that person. But the meaning is still vague. Just to show you that this communication module is so hard, except it helps you, your infirmity will not allow you to enter into the economy. And if you understand that God is greater than you tonight, you will accept your limitation and release him to work. Can we reach that place tonight? Where we accept what we are, who we are, and then accept his great power, his boundless might, and believe in him for him to do signs and do wonders and do miracles tonight. Rise on your feet.